Marriage Today presents The Lips of Life by Jimmy Evans.
Now, Proverbs 18, this is our banner scripture that we've been using in this series, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, this is just a truth. It's just an eternal spiritual truth. And that is, when you find a person whose life is satisfied, one of the central reasons why that person is blessed is because of what they say. It's the power of our speech. I want to focus now, since it says that the power of life is in our tongue, I want to look at the details of that. Just exactly how is it that we release the power of life from our lips? And let's get real specific about it. If there is the ability within me now to release life, how do I do it? Well, let's just go through these. There's 10 of them, and we will not be able to cover all of these. So I want to cover the ones that I really want to make my points on, and we'll go through the rest of them very quickly. Number one, praise and worship. This is the eternal occupation of your mouth. If you're a believer, understand, you will eternally be praising and worshiping God. It's the number one reason that God created your mouth, is to offer Him the fruit of praise that so glorifies and satisfies the Lord. It's the main thing that all of us were created for. And here's what Proverbs 22:3 says. God is enthroned upon the praises of His people. Literally, when we begin to praise God, God immediately and always inhabits the praises of His people. So, whenever we're dry, some people say, I'm dry spiritually, you can fix that. Praise God, He'll show up. Amen. You will not stay dry spiritually when you begin to praise God. But when you stop praising God, I promise you that you will live in spiritual dryness. I also promise you that you'll live in spiritual darkness. I want you to turn to Isaiah 61, if you would. To Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to read about the ministry of Jesus Christ, literally the anointing of Jesus Christ to set people free, and an interesting verse here that talks about the power of praise and what it does in our life. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes." Now listen to this. "The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." The Bible says the ministry of Jesus, when we get saved, that Jesus wants to take away everything negative that the devil has done in our life and replace it with everything positive. And it says that part of the ministry of Jesus is to take a spirit of heaviness off of us and to give us a garment of praise. Now, depression is an epidemic in America today. It's an epidemic. Many people drink, they take prescription drugs and illicit drugs because of a spirit of heaviness, and it is a demonic spirit. Now, I realize some people are depressed maybe because of chemical reasons, but I believe most people are depressed because Satan is oppressing them. And let me just say this, with the music and entertainment that most people listen to, it is no doubt why they're depressed. You know something? You can talk yourself into a good depression. Am I telling the truth? Amen. You can just sit there and you can listen to certain kinds of music, and literally you can feel the oppression coming. Words release light, or words release darkness. Words release heaviness and oppression, or words release joy. Well, it says here that we can get the oppression off of our life if we will put on a garment of praise. But I remind you, you were born naked at a very early age. Somebody had to put clothing on you when you were a child. But the day came that your mama looked at you, I know she did, and she said, "I'm not dressing you anymore. You're old enough to dress yourself. Put your own clothes on." Well, I just tell you, when you first get saved, God, He does a lot of things for you, but the day comes, He says, you've got to put on your own garment of praise. Amen. I can't be responsible for carrying you around the rest of your life and slapping the devil off your back every time he gets there. There comes a day in your spiritual life that you have to wake up, and of course you feel discouraged. All of us get discouraged. Of course there are times when we get down and we just don't feel as good as the days that we fill up. And I'll tell you, the days that you wake up and you feel that heaviness on your life, those are the critical times to praise Jesus. If you only praise Jesus when you feel like praising Jesus, I promise you live as a depressed and discouraged person. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How do our lips release life? When you release praise, God inhabits that praise and life shows up. Amen. When you don't praise, life does not show up. You live in discouragement. You live in heaviness, and it sucks the life out of you. I'll tell you something. You know, a person can walk up to me. All of us love to be praised, all because we're made in the image of God. Psalm 100 says that we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and we enter into His courts with praise. If I'm going to let you into my heart of hearts, you have got to be a positive person. Otherwise, if you're negative or whatever, you may talk to me, but I'm going to hold you out of my heart. See, I'm made in the image of God. God only lets positive people into His very presence. Did you know that? You'll never grumble your way into His presence. You'll never complain your way into His presence. You will never say negative things and somehow God will show up. Only through praise can you get into His presence. Let me say this. Only through praise can you get into my presence. And let me tell you the point that I'm trying to make. When people meet each other and fall in love, they always, 100% of the time, fall in love by praising each other. There has never in the history of the world been a couple who fell in love by criticizing each other. But that's how you fall out of love. The discipline of praise in our life. I just got through telling you that praising God in the dark moments of your life is the key to living successfully. When we feel up, it's easy to praise. When we feel down, it's easy to put on country western songs and begin to moan. And that just... You know, and I know there's some okay country western singers and okay country western songs and all that, but the worst thing you can do is listen to music like how you feel. Amen. Put on praise music. Well, the same is true of marriage. The worst thing you can do is let your feelings dictate what you say. And you get married and you first meet each other and it's just praise and pray. You're so beautiful, you're so handsome, you're so nice, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. And I'm just telling you, when I met Karen and she began to praise me, that's why I called her for the second date. I mean, it was because she called me idiot all night and I said, boy, I love that. I'm going to go back out with her. She complimented me. I complimented her. We wanted a second date and a third date and a fourth date and a fifth date. But somewhere along the line, all those positive things we lose sight of, and then the criticism begins. John Gottman, University of Washington, has studied marriage and divorce longer than any other person, and he says there are four predictors of divorce. He can predict divorce with 93% accuracy, and the number one predictor of divorce is criticism. When he finds criticism present in a relationship, not just saying something negative in a loving way, but a spirit of criticism, 93% accuracy, he says, that person, that marriage will not make it. When a spirit of criticism, and let me just tell you something, Satan is the prince of darkness. And the only thing he wants you to remember is everything wrong in your life. Everything wrong. That's all. Everything wrong with your spouse. Everything wrong with your children. Everything wrong with your job. And you wake up and it's just everything wrong. That's the critical issue of the discipline of praise. When you discipline yourself to praise, you remember everything good about life. You wake up in the morning and you just begin to thank God. And this is the second thing here, thanksgiving and appreciation. You wake up and it says, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And listen to what it says in Psalm 50, verse 23. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so I can show him the salvation of God. When you're thankful and you wake up in the morning and you just say, thank you, God. Thank you for eternal life, and thank you for the blood of Jesus, and thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you for health. Thank you for opportunities. Thank you for my relationships. Thank you. God, I praise you for this. You remember all the blessings of God. Let me just say something. I want you to know something this morning about yourself. And when I say this, I think you'll agree with me. You're a walking miracle. Did you know that? You literally, your life is a walking miracle. God only knows how many times He saved your life when you didn't deserve it and when you didn't even know it. There was a lady who came into church last night. She sat right over here, and I was out shaking hands before the service, and I walked up to her, and she's just a happy woman. She's always happy. But I walked up to her, and she said, "Well, praise the Lord. It's a miracle that I'm here tonight." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Yesterday I was hit by two cars. It totaled my car. It took the people 30 minutes to get me out with all their machines, you know, the paramedics or the fire department, 30 minutes to get me out of the car, and all I've got is a scrape on my elbow." And I'm telling you, it was a miracle that she was here. I mean, she just sat there and she was just praising the Lord. But who knows how many times that an angel's pushed a car away from yours? Amen. Who knows how many times that a drunk driver was prevented of getting to you because of the grace of God? I mean, how many times has God rescued all of our lives? But we don't think about those things when we wake up every day. What the devil wants you to think of is all the little problems with the way you feel, your sore back, your headache, your sinuses, what's coming up at work, all the things, and you just sit there and rehearse them and rehearse them and rehearse them. And that's why that country western music feels so good. Because it was written by people who feel like you feel. And it's just misery loves company. So let's just turn on some bad music and just drown our sorrows. No, I say, let's turn on some praise music and push them out. Amen. Let's put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let's praise. And when you don't feel like praising your spouse, you go back and you praise your spouse. Because I'll tell you something, there's a reason that you fell in love with them and you've just forgotten it. And when you make yourself praise your spouse, you remind yourself of every reason you married that person. Satan doesn't want you to remember those things. He just wants you to remember everything wrong, everything negative, everything they've done that's disgusting. And just to focus on those things. It'll kill your marriage. It'll kill your children. Children desperately need the praise and approval of their parents. They desperately need it. They need to hear how smart they are and how great they are. And here's what I believe. It's the cork principle, and this is what I believe. People always rise to the level of your praise. Proverbs 31 talks about the excellent wife. And the excellent wife, it says, her husband is an elder in the gates of the city. But understand, it does not attribute him being an elder to him. It attributes him being an elder to her. Her husband is an elder of the gates. What does that mean? That means she treated him like he was an elder before he ever was. She honored that man like he was a man of God, even when he didn't act like a man of God. And the result of her behavior was he became that. I believe that your children will rise to the level of your praise. And they come home with D's and E's on the report card and you say, "You're a genius," and start acting like it. Now you're the smartest kid in that class and you know you are. And you begin to talk to them like that. And they love that. "You're right, I am. And we're going to pull the genius out of you. You're not stupid. You're not ignorant. That's why we're not going to let you get away with that nonsense. You're the smartest kid in there. Now we're going to work that out." And you praise them when they do something wrong. You don't call them names or talk down to them. You say, "You're such a good child. Why would you strap your brother to the car with duct tape? You know, why would you do that? You know, you're such a good child." You know, all those things like that. You praise them and they rise to the level of your praise. Or they will fall to your level of criticism. And you take a good spouse, a good woman, a good man, a good child, a good employee, and you begin to rag on them, and you begin to talk down to them and beat up on them with your mouth, they will become so demoralized that even if they were good, they'll turn bad in your influence. Power of death and life is in our lips. How do you release life? You praise. You praise. You praise God. You praise the people around you. And I'm just telling you, when a person praises me, life comes into my body. I can feel it come into my body. And when someone, I'm not talking about someone just saying something, the truth in love. I'm saying when people criticize me in a bad way, I can feel it leaving my body. I literally can. I get life from praise. And I love to be around positive people. I need to hear constructive criticism from those who love me. I'm not saying that we avoid that. But I'm saying every single one of us have been made in the image of God. But here's what I'm telling you this morning. Every morning that you wake up, you will have to put on the garment of praise. The death of Jesus has made the power of praise available to each one of us, but it is our responsibility to put it on. And the most critical times for you to put on the garment of praise are those times when you don't feel like it. The times when the spirit of darkness, the spirit of heaviness is attacking your marriage and attacking your family and attacking your business and attacking your life and attacking your mind and attacking your emotions. And that is when you say, I'm not giving in to this. I'm not going to lay under the power of this heaviness and let it suck the life out of me. I'm putting on the garment of praise. Thank you, Jesus, amen, for everything you've ever done for me. And it's interesting, Psalm 149, verse 3 says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, that you might execute vengeance on the enemy. And let me tell you, Satan's whole program is to rob the glory of God. And the ultimate weapon that we have been given against Satan is the praise of Jesus Christ. He despises the praise of Jesus more than anything else. When you begin to praise Jesus, Psalm 149, it says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. It's the weapon of God against the spirit of the enemy. Praise isn't just praise, folks. It is the presence of God, and it is a nuclear force against the spirit of the enemy. And when you feel the enemy coming into your body, into your mind, into your marriage, into your family, into your life, and begin his dark work in your life, you begin to lift praises to God. And it'll set you free. It'll transform your life. Life comes into you and everyone around you. Number three is blessing. The power of blessing. Luke 6, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Jesus tells us to bless people even when they're cursing us, and to pray for people who spitefully use us. Now, the word bless just means to speak well of. That's all it means. If I'm praying a blessing over you, it just means I'm praying over you everything I want for me, health and blessing and all of that. But if I'm talking about you, blessing people who curse me just means I'm not going to speak evil of you and I'm not going to speak evil on you. When I'm speaking about you, or when I'm speaking about what I want for you, I'll always say things like, even if you're my enemy, well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that about them. Well, I hope they get better. Well, I hope that stops. I'm always blessing. What the Bible says, we're always supposed to be blessing people, even when they're cursing us. In the worst of circumstances, our mouth is to be a place of blessing. But let me tell you why. Psalm 109, verse 17, here's what it says. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. Now, I want to give you now a little principle here. You will get back whatever you give away with your mouth. If you are a blesser, even of your enemies, if you're a blesser, you will live in blessing. If you're a curser, you'll live in cursing. Read another scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Peter says, I don't want you as brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want you responding in kind to one another, cursing for cursing, reviling for reviling. He says, but when you're reviled and mistreated, I want you to bless. He said, and if you do, you'll inherit a blessing. If you're a blesser, you'll inherit a blessing. Jesus, Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, he says, judge not lest you be judged. In the same way that you judge, it will be judged back to you. According to your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. If you're a great blesser of people, you will live in great blessing. But if you're a curser of people, if you judge people, I'm talking about any kind of person, when you judge people, even your worst enemies, understand this, God's not in it. When you curse people, even your worst enemies, understand, God's not in it. When you wish bad things upon people, God will have nothing to do with it. And I want to tell you why, and that is this. Every one of your enemies are God's children. Amen. Speak a blessing on everyone around you. If you want to be blessed, speak a blessing on other people. But if you want to curse yourself, curse someone else. If you want to judge yourself, judge someone else. Because Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged in the same way that you judge. If you're a merciful person, you'll get mercy. If you're a gracious person, you'll get grace. If you're a harsh person, it's going to be harsh for you. By your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. If your measure is a thimble, then that's all you're going to get back. But if your measure is an ocean, you're going to live in an ocean of blessing. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. Pray for those who spitefully use you. And the Bible goes on and on. Listen to this wonderful scripture, Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. By the blessing of the upright, a city goes higher and higher, but it is degraded by the curses of the wicked. Our prayers and our confession literally impact the city that we live in a profound way. The power of blessing cannot be underestimated, and you were not designed by God to curse and to judge. You were designed by God to bless and to pray. Number four, and we'll read through these quickly, the Word of God. Whenever you're in a circumstance of being tempted or deception or anything, the Word of God, Hebrews 4 says, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living. It's alive. 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is the breath of God. It's the life force of God. It's inspired by Him. Literally means it's the breath of God. The word meditation, Psalm 1 promises that if we meditate on God's Word day and night, that we'll prosper in everything that we do. The word meditate means to murmur to yourself. You're being tempted. You're being deceived. Whatever's going on in life, the word meditate means murmuring to yourself, the Word of God. And wherever you're being tempted, wherever you're fighting that battle, you find a scripture and just begin to speak it. And what you'll find is it'll bring life into that situation. The Word of God is life, but I'll tell you what is death, and that is the word of the enemy, the politically correct word, the word that the world is saying, the word that's in your mind that has not gone through the ringer and the checkpoint of the Word of God. Speaking the truth in love. Some people say, well, after this series of messages, what can I say? Well, there are times that we need to say something negative or critical or corrective in our marriage, in our business, in church, or whatever. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into all aspects. Speaking the truth in love brings life into a relationship. If you don't speak truth, there's something horribly wrong with you. But if you speak the truth without love, it'll kill everyone around you. I don't care if you're a prophet. I don't care if you've got the gift of speaking your mind or whatever. The truth without love is devastating. But the truth with love is wonderful. And the Bible says that we're to speak the truth in love. Number six, encouragement and exhortation. The Bible says that as the day comes close to Jesus coming again, Hebrews 10 says we should be encouraging each other all the more. We need the ministry of encouragement in the body of Christ today. And Romans 12:8 says, some people actually have the gift of encouragement. You know, some of you here today literally have a spiritual gift that is called in the Bible the gift of exhortation. Barnabas, in Acts, the book of Acts, he had it. His name was Joseph, and the early apostles, he was so encouraging that they changed his name from Joseph to Son of Encouragement, the name Barnabas. And so encouragement and you know, it just gives life to people, and we all need to be encouraging people. But some people have actually the ministry of that. Graciousness and kindness, Ecclesiastes 10:12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. And let me just tell you what graciousness and kindness is. Graciousness and kindness is treating people as though they're extremely valuable. That's all it is. When you see a human being and you do not understand their value, you will automatically begin to talk down to them. If it's a family member, if it's a friend, if it's a stranger. But when you understand that every human being, the most valuable thing to God in this world are all the human beings walking around. And when you see a human being poor and destitute and deceived and whatever, you need to understand that person is precious in their sight. Graciousness means I understand the power of words. I understand the preciousness of people. and I am going to use my words to value and uplift people and not be brutal or unkind or harsh or sarcastic or rude under any circumstances. Number 8 is prayer. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It says, if we will not be anxious, but if we will pray, it says the peace of God will be dispatched and it will guard our hearts and our minds. I live under pressure every day, and I know you do too. I wake up every morning with pressure in my life of many decisions that I have to make and many things that I have to do. The only thing that keeps me, I believe, from burning out, stressing out, and just being crumbling under the pressure is constantly lifting up prayers to God. And what I find is this. When I begin not to be anxious or fearful, so you're either going to pray or you're going to worry. Those are the only two alternatives there. And whenever you do not be anxious for anything, but in everything pray, the life-giving peace of God descends into your life and it guards your mind and your heart. It's a peace that passes understanding. Well, let me read another scripture, Matthew 18. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Jesus says, if two on earth would agree, God will do it. And then he says, where two of you gather in my name, there I am in your midst. Let me say it. Every married couple qualifies for this scripture. Tension, money tension, and tension about children, and tension about decisions and about work and about all the issues of life. I have never had a counseling appointment for a serious marriage problem with a couple who prayed together regularly. I have never had a couple come to me saying, Pastor Jimmy, we've got horrible problems and we pray together every day. When I find a couple who has chronic bad problems in their marriage, they're not coming together in prayer. They're fighting and it's between them. If two on earth will agree together, he says, I'll do it, because where two are gathered in my name, it means for my purposes, you join hands in prayer, there I am in their midst. One of the most critical disciplines for Karen and I when our children were growing up and when I first began in ministry is we walked together every morning and we would talk as a couple. We would talk for 30 minutes and we would pray for 30 minutes. And I look back on our marriage in the most stressful times in my life were those times when I just started out in the ministry and when our children were very young. They were very, very stressful times. We survived those times. When I look back on why we survived, I know in a married way, it's because we prayed together regularly. Praying together as a couple, praying together in your business, praying together personally, when you feel stress and when you feel tension, do not be anxious for one thing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, descends. And it guards your mind and your heart. What if you don't pray? You're going to have short emotion, short temper, nervous, anxious, have to take something or drink something to get out from under the pressure. It's a destructive way of life. Prayer brings life. Prayerlessness costs us something. Speaking in the Spirit. Ephesians 5, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When the Holy Spirit fills us up, the natural byproduct of the fullness of the Spirit in our life is the way that we speak. And it says we're to speak to one another in encouraging ways, and also in the Spirit, ministering, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, those kinds of things. The Holy Spirit leads us to speak beyond our own capacity, and it's the most edifying speech in the whole world. Last week, I preached in Dallas at Pastor Robert Morris's church. At the end of my message, I was praying, just having a general prayer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there's a woman here, gave me the woman's name. I said, your name is this, you're 45 years old, and you're suffering from severe depression. Now, in a group that size, for that to be accurate, I just got to be God. At the end of my message, I was just talking to people here, and Jeff Drott walked up to me and said, Jimmy, this is her. And I walked over. She was 45 years old. I called her exact name out. And she was suffering from severe depression and had been for many years. Don't tell me she wasn't encouraged. I love that. You know, I just love for the Holy Spirit to say something through me that couldn't have been me and to watch the effect in another person's life. You can do that. Every person can do that. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, pursue love, yet burn hot for spiritual gifts. Paul tells Timothy, stir up that gift that's within you. Stir it up. Let it happen because it edifies. It gives life to everyone around us. Number 10, witnessing and sharing our testimony. Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit was given for us to share our witness with other people. And I'll tell you this, the more you share your witness about Jesus, the more passion you will have for Jesus, and you will never lose your first love for Christ. But I promise you this, if you rarely or never share your testimony to other people and lead them to the Lord, you will become more and more stale and dry, and you'll become an old, boring Christian who can't remember the joy of your salvation. It's a distant memory. Sharing your testimony about Christ constantly makes it fresh in your own life as it shares life with other people. The first reason, by the way, that Jesus created your mouth was to praise Him. The second reason He created your mouth is to share the good news of Jesus with other people. And so when you get specific and you say the power of life and death is in the mouth, and those who love it will eat its fruit, that's the power of life, specifically. That is how we release life out of our mouth. The more we do these things, the more we will see the life of God in us and around us.
This concludes Session 5. Please continue with Releasing the Prophetic Power of the Spoken Word, the next teaching in this series.